Tell me how you want me to style it for you today.
It's a normal day for Harry Wood as he discusses his client's styling routine.
The bottom of the curls.
He's a hairdresser at Van Michael's Salon in Buckhead.
We're going to use a curling rod.
But nothing was normal for Susan Webster 13 years ago when she sat in the same chair and told Wood the sad news. She had been diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer and was about to lose her hair. They immediately went together to pick out a wig.
Even though they warn you, somehow you're not fully prepared, and it is a little bit shocking when it happens.
A few weeks later, she held a clump of hair in her hands. At the time, Webster was 45 and the mother of 2 young boys. She called her hairdresser. Harry Wood came to her house after work, shaved her head, and placed the wig on her scalp.
I was ready to get on with it. I didn't want to drag it out any longer, and it turned out to be the right way for me.
Webster was fortunate. Her hairdresser happened to be a friend, someone to help her with a dose of normalcy in a life deeply disrupted by illness. Wood says this type of service should be the norm in his industry, not an exception.
I think for most hairdressers, it's not really a if you come across somebody who has cancer, but when.
Wood's been a stylist in Atlanta for 25 years. He's also the author of several textbooks on hairdresser education. His latest deals with hair loss after chemotherapy.
That would be the goal, be to make it a global standard in schools and the hairdressing profession around the world, to know how to take care of people with cancer.
Wood says it could mean everything from providing a private room for clients who are in treatment to properly washing and styling a wig. Add to that some basic knowledge about the side effects of chemotherapy. For example, it's quite painful when the hair starts falling out. The scalp stings and burns. For hairdressers, that also means
knowing what products to use when somebody's going through chemo and radiation, that they're sensitive.
Once chemotherapy is over, Wood says there is another challenge.
When the hair starts to grow back while the chemo's still in the body, an average person would grow back the most coarse, most curly hair. It changes the texture so much. So, you know, you have to be gentle with it.
Susan Webster has vivid memories of those days.
Your hair almost looks like a little tennis ball.
But it's not just about body image. Hairdressers also have to worry about medical issues when working with a sick client.
Certainly, medically speaking, we have concerns about people going through cancer having infection risks.
That's Dr. Wendy Baer. She's a clinical psychologist at Emory University's Winship Cancer Center.
Sometimes their white blood cell count is low. Sometimes their bleeding risk, their platelet count is low. And so you have to know where people are during therapy.
Baer says if the beauty industry adapts to the needs of cancer patients, there's the opportunity to bring in more clients. Clients like Susan Webster. She didn't want to spend any more time than absolutely necessary in the hospital, even a hospital hair salon.
The sound of it, the smell of it, it just was not my preference because of the clinical nature. To be in a salon where I was comfortable and had happy memories felt a lot better for me than being in a doctor's setting.
I like the volume that you're getting right here in the sides. But I see
today, 13 years later, Webster is glad she kept her beauty routine during her illness. And she's grateful her hairdresser was with her every step of the way, from shaving her head and washing the wig to cutting and coloring her freshly grown hair.
I like it. Thank you so much.
For WABE News, I'm Katja Ritterbusch.